Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
My next guest was a 16-year-old pupil at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, when a gunman opened fire in her classroom, killing 17 students and injuring several others, becoming one of the worst school shootings on record. She survived by hiding beneath a classmate when she felt his body fall on hers, staying under his weight, quiet and terrified and struggling to breathe, knowing his death was the reason she was still alive. She's now a final year student at Trinity Washington University in DC, and when she's not studying, she campaigns to help end gun violence. Her name is Alea Eastmond, and she joins me on the line now. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me this morning, Alea. And we see the funerals beginning now of the victims of last week's shooting in Uvalde. I know you've spoken since it happened about how sick and tired and fed up you are. You felt like you had to apologise to the families of the victims. How are you today? And as you see the news now, both with the funerals happening and also this controversy around the response increasing?
Honestly, this weekend has been very hard for me because these shootings are a constant reminder of my trauma and what I experienced in 2018. So this weekend was honestly filled with flashbacks and filled with tears. And this Monday morning, I'm just still immensely sad for this community. And it's a reminder of, like, again, my experience. I remember waking up and having to get ready to go to my first funerals and seeing my classmates not in a classroom, but in a casket. And that's very hard, especially for young children to experience. So I'm just dealing with a lot of sadness right now for this community and these children.
Alea, how do you look after yourself at moments like these, that, you know, a weekend that you've just described?
Well, I mean, it's so hard because I'm not, you know, home. I'm in college, so I'm not with family. But I really just try to stay connected with my friends in DC. I have a very close community of friends here. So I try to get out the house and not stay inside and cry all day. I just try to get some sun, or simply just by talking about my feelings, talking about my emotions. I think for a lot of gun violence survivors, talking helps. But it's different. Grief is different for everyone. Trauma is different for everyone. And it's a journey that, you know, it's a lifelong journey that takes trial and error to figure out how to deal with, you know, your new normal after experiencing a traumatic event like a school shooting.
It's extraordinary for us to hear, you know, what you have been through at your school. And for us here in Ireland and here in Europe, this just doesn't happen, you know. And when it did happen in Scotland, in Dunblane in Scotland, action was taken. That doesn't happen in the United States.
Yeah, it doesn't. We unfortunately live in a country where we have leaders and policymakers and congressmen and women who continue to turn a blind eye to young children and families that are continuously dealing with gun violence every single day. I mean, gun violence isn't new. We see it in our inner city communities every day. Like, we have numbers that can reach up to mass shooting numbers in a weekend in specific cities. So this isn't new. Gun violence is definitely something that is uniquely American, and it's unfortunate that we have leaders that continue to not care and honestly have blood on their hands.
And you made the decision to talk about what you experienced, and I know you have discussed it and you've gone through the details hundreds and hundreds of times. What do you hope to achieve in reliving, as you say, the most difficult day of your life?
Honestly, I hope to just reach more people in the world, specifically more people here in the U.S., because I feel like we need more outrage on this issue, because I just can't understand how we can continue to let young children experience gun violence. Now there's a number of families that have to plan funerals for their babies there's so many parents that now have to live without their children. Like, no parent should outlive their children. So I just hope to reach more people and hopefully reach the people in positions of power, in hopes that maybe my story will trigger them to do change, or just hearing someone that's experienced this, hearing my story or another person's story, just hoping that triggers some type of change, or outrage, or just something. I just need to see a conversation or progressive action towards decreasing this issue of gun violence, because honestly, it's getting worse and it's doing the complete opposite of what we want. It's increasing right now, which is not good.
I was listening to a psychiatrist discuss the impact on survivors of an incident like this, people like you, and how there is a lifetime of impacts there, and you understand that more than most. Is it manageable, you know, your day-to-day life? Can you live a normal life, Alea?
I mean, yeah, I think I have. I've been trying my best. You know, I go to college now. I have 2 semesters left. I'm not in Florida anymore. I'm in Washington, D.C. So I think I've taken the right steps that works for me as to creating a new normal. I intentionally chose to go to college out of state to be away from home and seeing my high school as a constant reminder, because we live very close to my high school. Just trying to, you know, for a while I struggled with how to live an average, when I was a teenager. I'm not a teenager anymore, but when I was a teenager, I struggled with trying to find a balance between, you know, my work of gun violence prevention and then my just everyday life of living a normal teenage life. And for a while I wasn't, because I had to mature so fast, and I had to do interviews, and I had to go on TV, and I had to write op-eds and just do a lot of stuff that was just gun violence, gun violence, gun violence. And for a while it was just like the cycle of my life. And then I intentionally chose to have more fun and incorporate more things that you would see an average teenager do in my everyday life. So that's something that I'm still trying to do as I'm 21 mm-hmm. now. But, you know, it's a journey that it's a lifelong journey that you kind of figure out as you go. So I think I've been doing all right. And I hope my classmates from back home are doing okay as well.
Do you keep in touch with them?
Yes, actually, I have a group chat with classmates that I was actually in the same classroom with during the shooting. And we talk for, you know, things like this when we see other shootings happening, or, you know, we've been talking lately because, you know, the trial for my high school, they're like trying to find a jury right now and stuff like that. So we've been in the news quite a lot lately. And a number of us might have to attend the trial and testify and things like that. So that's been very hard, but I do keep in touch with my classmates that I experienced the shooting with, and we do talk. It's just been very hard for others. And I know a lot of my classmates are struggling very badly right now with the news and the trauma. So I'm just trying my best to support those that I can.
I find it quite hard to read some of the coverage from Texas over the last week. Do you try to avoid some of it, or do you immerse yourself in it? Do you have a strategy?
I mean, it honestly depends on the shooting. I think, for example, when I saw Buffalo happened, that one was really hard for me to like read the news or see any videos, because there's a racial undertone to it, and you know that irks me and honestly hurts me a lot. So for that shooting, I kind of tried not to immerse myself in the news, but you know, this one hits a lot closer to home because it's the same exact experience I experienced in 2018 being a school shooting. So it's very hard not to immerse myself in the news, especially when, you know, I work for a gun violence prevention organization. So my notifications on my phone are constant updates on the shooting, or just like not even just Uvalde, but shootings across the country. So I honestly can't not read it, because I have to be knowledgeable on what's going on, and it's hard, but you know, when I'm not working or I'm trying to just zen or just like be okay, I try not to look at it. But it's definitely difficult because I can promise every time that I open my phone or I open social media, the first thing I see is something related to Uvalde. So it's just very hard not to acknowledge it or see it.
Do you feel like nothing has changed since 2018 regarding gun laws?
I would say that a lot has happened within the gun violence prevention movement. And I think organizers and leaders or community leaders, not leaders of this country, but community leaders, are working immensely day in and day out to decrease gun violence and prevent this from happening. But again, those that are in the Capitol building or in Congress are not. And I think I'm more so frustrated with our Senate, because there's so many bills that are just sitting at the Senate that haven't even gotten voted on that relate to gun violence prevention that would possibly save lives, even if it's just one. So I'm honestly just sick and frustrated with our Senate for not even pushing these bills forward and letting democracy work how it's supposed to work.
And then when you see Donald Trump addressing the NRA, saying that teachers should be armed, there should be one secure entrance into and out of schools, I mean, how do you react when you hear those sorts of speeches? Because he's not alone in saying that and in supporting the right to bear arms.
I honestly don't care what Trump has to say about anything. He could be talking about the most important thing, and I wouldn't care. Anything he said, I just have to ignore it because it's idiotic, stupid, and it doesn't make any sense. We've already gone through this with Parkland. We had the whole debate about arming teachers. We know it doesn't work. We've seen it. A teacher at my high school, I think like a week or two after the shooting, went to the beach and had his firearm and left it in the bathroom, and a houseless person shot the firearm. Thank God nobody got harmed or injured, but that just shows that you can't put that on a teacher. Like, imagine if that was a classroom and the teacher just forgot the gun on the desk. There's classrooms of 20, 30 students that might be interested in picking up the gun or doing something or playing with it. You know, you just can't. Why would you put more weapons into schools? Mm-hmm. And also, teachers are not paid enough for that crap. Like, we already asked them to watch children for 8 hours of the day, plus that, provide resources for the children. We cannot put more on teachers. They didn't ask to go to war. They're asking to educate young people. So I just think that's completely idiotic. But if Trump wants to do that, he can gladly get a job as a teacher. He can go to school, he can get his gun, and he can be the security guard if he wants to do that so bad. But everyone else here, we don't want that.
An armed teacher, would that have made any difference to what happened to you and your school?
Absolutely not. I don't think so. We had a resource officer on our campus with a firearm, the only person on our campus with a firearm who chose to, again, eerily similar to Uvalde, but chose to stand outside the building as we were getting gunned down. And I can't even imagine having someone that has gone to school, that has been trained and has a firearm. I can't imagine someone that has a job to protect people and doesn't do it. I don't want to put that responsibility on teachers. And I don't think if they had firearms at my school, much would have changed based off of like how the shooting happened. Like, we were in the classroom, he shot from the window. Like, it just, there's a lot of details, but I don't think it would have made that much of a difference. Mm-hmm. Now, honestly, if our security guards had a weapon, in which they were asking our resource officer for his weapon to go in and apprehend the shooter, if they had a weapon, they would still be here today. And our shooter possibly wouldn't have gone on to kill 17. But, you know, that just wasn't the case.
And you saw President Biden, Joe Biden and Jill Biden in Texas yesterday in Uvalde, meeting survivors, meeting parents and families. Do you think that will have brought any comfort?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on the family and the person. I know there's a few people that would not want to talk to Biden right now, or anybody in Congress, or, you know, in positions of power, because it's due to their complacency why we're seeing these issues. But I know other people are happy to see him say something or just acknowledge what happened. But I get, for me, honestly, at the end of the day, that's his job as the leader of this country. He has to acknowledge tragedies like this, and he has to go and provide some sort of comfort. But what I would want to see as like a genuine step forward would be pushing leaders of this nation to do something. I think Biden, I didn't listen to anything that he said, but I think he honestly might be fed up as well, because I just can't imagine how someone cannot be fed up with this issue of gun violence.
Well, Aaliyah, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and we wish you well. I know it's not an easy time, but we really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us. That's Aaliyah Eastmond.
Thank you.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.